All right, this is Matt from Three Count Thursday, recording another website exclusive interview for the Three Count Thursday website. That is www.threecountthursday.com. Tonight, super thrilled to be joined by the Sriracha Muchacha, Paloma Starr. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to jump on with us, but we've been wanting to have you on here for a while, so excited we could make that happen.
Hey, I'm glad it worked out.
All right. So first question, we always ask the generic, like, boring, what got you into wrestling question. So what did get you into wrestling? Was there a specific wrestler that you really were drew to? Was there a member of the family, a friend, or were you, like, the one that was pounding the table, like, telling your friends, hey, you got to start watching wrestling?
Well, I actually grew up in Mexico. I grew up in Juarez. It's a border town right next to El Paso. And in Mexico, Lucha Libre is everything. It's like practically a religion down there. So I was going to the local Lucha Libre shows when I was really young with my mom and my grandma. So I was really exposed to wrestling early on. And I remember meeting my favorite luchador named Tinieblas at a local grocery store. He was doing an autograph and an autograph session, and I actually was able to take a Polaroid picture with Tinieblas and his little mini Aluche. And I think that's when I really fell in love with it, being able to meet like the guy who I've like been watching on TV and been watching at shows. I think that's what really got me into it. And growing up in Mexico, definitely I didn't know there was even other wrestling until I moved to Texas full time. Mm-hmm. And that's when my friends really started exposing me to like WCW and WWE. And I'm like, what? There's so much wrestling besides Lucha Libre. This is awesome. So I've definitely been a fan of it since I was a kid. And it's kind of cool seeing it from the Lucha Libre perspective and then going up into it and learning more about the American side of it.
Absolutely, and it's cool that your mom and grandma kind of harbored that love for you. My Mexican mother kind of rolled her eyes when I watched wrestling, so it's nice to hear that you had the opposite effect with that.
Totally. My mom's a huge wrestling fan. She probably watches more wrestling than I do to this day, so it's really fun. She's definitely supportive and gets super into it, and it's awesome to see her be a fan to this day.
So let's talk a little bit about the differing styles, because I still have family down in Mexico. So when I talk about the wrestling I watch, it's 100% different from what they're used to watching. So how was that for you, like watching Lucha Libre and then coming to the States and getting introduced to like the WCW, WWF, then E style? Like, how different was that for you? And was it kind of tough for you to appreciate the American pro wrestling being that you're accustomed to something so different?
At first, I just thought it was weird that not everybody was in masks, because obviously in Lucha Libre, there's still people without masks, but probably like 90% of the people are in masks. So I thought that everybody had already like lost their mask. And when I started watching American Style, I thought that everybody started with the mask and everybody had already lost their mask already. But it definitely let me appreciate it in a different way. I was obviously used to like the super high flying and the fast pace and lots of almost a lot of crowd involvement. So I definitely started appreciating the American Style for its own point of view and then how different it was. It didn't take me long to get into it. I definitely got into it right away, but I just thought like, where's everybody's mask? But then I realized how, you know, the different culture has a different way of portraying that in wrestling. So I learned to appreciate both of them. But I did I was behind a little bit on what was going on in the wrestling world. So I definitely had to, like, catch up some. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it on why there's a red NWO and a white and black NWO now.
Right. So this is kind of a taking a sidebar here, but did you watch the most recent All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view by chance?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So what were your thoughts on the whole demasking of Pentagon there? Because I know for me that was kind of like a big moment. And I assume that, you know, he was in on that, but like, how did that impact you just watching that as a fan?
Definitely, Fantasy is one of, like, I really, really enjoy his work, and that's one of the ones that I definitely have been attracted to, like work-wise, his character-wise. I really, really enjoy him, and he's one of those that I almost admire more as a fan. As of course, I know he's a good worker, but I think I'm definitely more of a fan of him. Be like, I would totally be buying all his merch and cheering for him and dressing up as him if I was a kid. But that definitely surprised me. I did not expect that. I didn't see that coming at all. So it definitely surprised me when the unmasking did happen. I think it just adds to it, to the whole storyline and what they're going with. Since, I mean, they've had plenty of a whole bunch of, like, classic matches, the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks. So I think it just adds another level to it. But, and, you know, and of course, everybody knows how big of a deal to unmask a luchador is. So I think that really kind of almost brings more Mexican culture and the Lucha Libre style of wrestling to the forefront and to the mainstream, because it kind of really accentuates that. So I thought it was kind of cool, but definitely surprised me.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now to kind of backtrack, get back to you as the wrestler. So, you know, you're a fan, lifelong fan. You have the support of your family, lucky you. When did you kind of make the decision from, like, I'm going to stop being a fan and actually going to get in the ring? Like, when about age-wise was that for you?
I was actually 18. I was in high school. I was going to local wrestling shows, local shows there in El Paso. As a fan, when I was in high school, I was going with some of my friends, because one of my friends' boss was actually a local wrestler. And we started going to shows. It was so fun. And then the promoter made an announcement saying that they're going to have Lucha Caliente girl tryouts, which was basically just, you know, glorified ring girls, nothing fancy. So I actually went up to him. I'm like, you know what? That would be kind of cool. I want to get involved somehow, even if it is just being a ring girl. That would be cool. And then I talked to the promoter about it, and he takes one look at me, and he's like, well, you don't look like a ring girl. And I'm like, WTF, what is that supposed to mean? And then he's like, well, have you ever thought about being a wrestler? And in my head, it just, like, blew my mind, because for me, you just were a wrestler. I didn't know you could actually become a wrestler. I had no idea there was even wrestling schools. I didn't know that was even, like, an option. Because in Mexico, you know, there was, it's, like, almost the family business. Like, you get into wrestling because your dad, your uncle, your brother, and everybody else does it. So in my head, you just, like, were a wrestler. I didn't know you could become a wrestler. So I'm like, what? I could become a wrestler? And he's like, yeah, these are the days that we train. This is the next show. Come check out a training session and see what you think. So I went over to my first training session. All I did was observe. I was like, what? This is crazy. I can't believe people are actually training to be wrestlers. I think I could do this. And then I was actually thrown in as a manager role on the next show. And that was like my first exposure, like, right into the business. Was I was just as the manager for, like, the top heel in their company, and I just fell like in love right in. I mean, I've been a performer all my life. I was in theater, I was in ballet, so being in front of a crowd was almost like natural for me. It's just like that's what, like, the physicality part that was hard for me. But after that, moved to San Antonio for college and finished up my training down in San Antonio, and was going to college and training at the same time. And then the rest is history. Now we're here.
So you kind of mentioned, like, the physicality part, and I always like to ask, you know, what, especially when you have kind of that background in dance. So, like, was there anything in terms of getting into the ring that you just felt just came naturally for you? You just got it right off the bat, and then maybe something that was a little tough for you to kind of get accustomed to as you're going through training.
Definitely. So training was really, really hard for me. Like, it was actually kind of disappointing how long it was taking me for actually to, like, get things and, like, comprehend things and actually do them right. I remember so many times going back to my dorm because I was still in college and crying and thinking, like, how can I love this so much and how am I not good at this? Like, my trainer kicked my ass, man. We had lots of conditioning, lots of workouts, but when it came to the actual moves of it, it would take me a long time to actually execute them correctly. So that was really frustrating, but everything else that came natural for me was the facial expressions, the selling, the movement in between the moves, the crowd work. Everything else that came really natural to me since I was a cheerleader in high school as well. So I was used to, you know, the big over the top facial expressions and more of the jumping, like leapfrogs and like stuff like that. Especially early on, I was better at that. And it was so funny because I still remember we trained at a gym that was a boxing gym, obviously I had a wrestling ring, and also they had cheerleading training. So many times when I was like standing in the wrestling ring, I would like look at the cheerleaders and be like, oh, I was just doing that last year. But definitely for me, the wrestling did not come easy to me. I mean, I'm still learning to this day, never stop learning for sure. But the physicality part was a little bit hard for me because obviously it's a natural to fall. But everything else, the character work in the crowd, anything else like that, came pretty easy to me. Which is kind of weird because sometimes I feel like it's backwards for a lot of people. But for me, that's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of people that kind of got the action down and really struggled on the mic or really struggled to kind of connect with the crowd. So for sure, backwards. Now, the other question we like to ask in terms of like coming up beyond training, at this point, what has kind of been your favorite part of the wrestling industry? You know, be it kind of creating your in-ring character, maybe designing gear, getting your entrance with the music set. Is there anything that stands out as like through building up who you are as a wrestler that this is your favorite part of it?
I think actually finally coming up with a character or gimmick that actually like I could like fits and like goes with me, because for the longest time I was just wrestling as Star. Because wow, that's so creative. I had no creative thought behind my wrestling name, just a Star with two R's down in Texas. But when I moved up here to Chicago, I actually started wrestling as Paloma Star. And a super funny random story, that was actually because of Billy Corgan, because he used to have a promotion up here in Chicago, Resistance Pro. And when I introduced myself to him as Paloma, he's like, why don't you wrestle as that? I'm like, because I don't think anybody could pronounce it. And then he's like, no, wrestle as Paloma. It's so pretty and different and unique. So because of Billy Corgan, I started wrestling as Paloma Star. And then I always had the idea of the Sriracha Muchacha, and for it to actually come to fruition and me actually like execute it and not become a brand has really been really cool to see. Because at first when I brought it up to my partner, he's all like, that's so stupid. Like, that's never going to work. Like, really, Sriracha Muchacha? And I'm like, I mean, but it works. I mean, so many times people see something of Sriracha or see a Sriracha bottle and take a picture and send it to me. So I feel that's definitely like almost like a brand recognition at the top of mind. Every time somebody sees Sriracha, they'll think of me. So I think that's really cool that I'm able to curate my own little character out of something that I really do love. Like, I really do love Sriracha. Like, I am in my apartment right now, I'm staring at a bottle of Sriracha as we speak. But and then just coming up with the gear from that based on the Sriracha colors in the bottle, which also just so happens to be Mexican colors too. And then one of my good friends, Richie, made a custom-made entrance music song for me too. So kind of like seeing all the pieces go together and kind of making this big picture, I think that's been definitely my favorite, just the little steps one at a time to make this cool thing happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you putting that out is like your favorite part, because it leads perfectly into the next question. Mainly why I reached out to you, because Hispanic Heritage Month is upon us. By the time this interview drops, we will be right at the start of it. So how important is it to you to incorporate your background into your wrestling persona? I know all the ways you said that you wanted to do that, like the colors, the music, but did you know like right off the bat, like, this is who I am, so this needs to be a part of who I am as a wrestler?
Oh, totally. And you're so right. It does perfectly, a great segue into it. But yes, I do definitely feel like my Mexican heritage plays a big part of who I am. I'm very proud of being a Latina, especially being a bilingual. I mean, I grew up in Mexico, English is my second language. I the first day of school, I had no, I didn't know not one word of English, not one word of English. So I definitely want to be able to relate to so many other Latinas or even Latinos who are growing up, who are kids, and be like, look at me like, oh wow, look, somebody who looks like me, somebody who talks like me, somebody they can mm-hmm. relate to. Whether it be, you know, like the being English as a second language, being a child of immigrants, the struggle of living in like two different countries at one time. So I definitely really love being Mexican and Latina, and I definitely want to bring that heritage up to the forefront. And I think it's very important for have representation of all the cultures. So it's always awesome seeing the diversity. And I really wish there was actually more diversity in wrestling. There's so many times where I look at wrestling posters and match announcements, and every single person on that looks the same, or is it the same ethnic background? And I'm like, oh, come on! There's so many more talents out there that you could bring in. That's not just one type, because so many people, I feel like as fans, you relate to the person who's in the ring, whether it be in your local show or in the big stage on, you know, on TV. I feel people are attracted to people they can see themselves in. And if you have all the same people, then a lot of people are not going to be able to relate to or see themselves in that person. So I definitely love to bring in my heritage and bring it up to my character. I mean, I'm always speaking Spanish too in my promos or even in my matches, throwing in some Spanish flair there, but I'm really glad that I'm able to do that and do it with pride and, of course, tastefully, and give more recognition to all the Latinos out there.
Absolutely. Now, another question I'd like to ask, just because there's so many different styles, and you kind of have the firsthand experience because you were a fan getting to watch wrestling down in Mexico. So how does, like, being in that atmosphere as the fan watching that wrestling compare to the States, just because there's so many different, like in Japan, it's dead silent, but everyone's just kind of watching and appreciating. Mexico, it's just everyone's going crazy for what's going on in the ring. So how has your experience been getting to watch as a fan in different countries?
Oh my gosh, it is insane. I think I accidentally put you on hold.
No, that's all right.
Can you hear me? Okay, sorry about
that.
So I think watching it as a fan in Mexico specifically, it is crazy. Like, it's a whole different, like, I think the audience itself is almost like their own little show. Like, even just whenever I'm performing at Lucha shows, the interaction with fans is completely different as in performing in American style shows. They're definitely way more into it. You always have that older grandma type of person in the crowd who gets in every single wrestler's face, boos all the bad guys, cheer on all the good guys, and like just is talking all this crap to everybody. There's always that one grandma in the crowd that does that, like no matter what which show you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very vocal. Like, it's almost like very soccer like where people bring in the vuvuzelas, those horns, and bring in the tambourines and drums to make even more noise. And what's kind of like cool and different about the Lucha Libre crowd is that there's always like a section for the rudos. Like, there's always a section that always cheer for the bad guys, like no matter what. And you know, most of the time you see that like quote unquote the smart marks over here, but no, they're like, we'll always cheer the bad guys, like no matter what. And this is in every Lucha promotion, but I think it's definitely a little bit more riled up, and everybody gets super into it. And then, of course, you'll sometimes see, like, people throw stuff. You never want people to throw stuff, but that's just how much passion
right.
and feeling and emotion is, that raw emotion is with that Lucha Libre crowd. So it's definitely different, for sure. I recommend everybody go into a Lucha show and sitting into it and seeing how, like, different it is, because it's definitely lots of fun. It's a party.
All right. Now, a question I like to ask, especially because it's different in every kind of region we talk to, but especially on the East Coast, there's a ton of indie wrestling companies. And I know in Texas, where you started, tons of indie wrestling, and in the Midwest as well. So do you kind of see there being so many companies as like a great thing because you get so many different opportunities, or do you see it as kind of like a hindrance because you're all over the place all the time, and the storylines don't really get to be built up as much on the indies as you see in the bigger promotions?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question because sometimes I feel, especially here in the Midwest, in the Chicagoland area, there's so much wrestling that it could come be definitely become easily become oversaturated, and sometimes you have to step away and think like, oh, do you want more quality or more quantity? Because definitely, like, there's so many wrestling promotions in general, not just here in the Midwest, but all across the country, who are just doing the bare minimum, not really putting much of good effort into delivering a good show. Just like, well, I have a ring and a couple friends, let's put it on show. And I think that definitely hinders the quality of the product because I don't want somebody to go to their first ever wrestling show and then watch, like a subpar, not really put of an effort show, and then be turned off to wrestling in general, or like not want to support local shows because you're like, I don't want to go to this local show and it's, really crappy whenever I could go support WWE or whatever major promotion comes around, and they seems like they actually have it everything together. So I think sometimes it's definitely a hindrance when it comes to the quality of it and the type of talent and the production value of it. But also, I feel like it's a good thing because there is more places for wrestlers to work at. There is more places for you to hone your craft and get better at it. Because there's really, I mean, of course, you could train every day, but there's no way of getting better without actually doing it in front of a live crowd and being in the audience, feeling the audience and being in the moment. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, like both it's awesome and both it's a hindrance for sure.
Okay, and now the other thing that we see a ton on the indie scene, and we're not seeing it too much on the bigger scene, but it's kind of starting to, is intergender wrestling. And you're no stranger to intergender wrestling, so I'd like to ask the question, like, we've talked to some women wrestlers before that when they were coming up, if they weren't wrestling intergender, they might not get work. So was that kind of your experience? And then do you see us seeing like an intergender match on the main scene, AEW, WWE, in the near future?
I definitely do love intergender matches. I consider myself a feminist, so I feel like all genders should be treated equal. I shouldn't be seen less upon. I hate when people are like, oh, you're a good wrestler for a girl. No, I feel like women should be good wrestlers, or regardless of gender. Anybody should be a good wrestler, regardless of gender. They shouldn't have that asterisk for a girl or for whatever. But I'm glad that intergender wrestling has had a bigger presence and stage of it. But I think slowly but surely we might be able to get to that where we do see it in the bigger stages of it. I think sometimes you see like little glimpses of it and little glimpses of hope, like, oh, they just did a move, like a girl just did a move to a guy, or a guy just did a move to a girl. It's like, yes, it's there. But I think it's kind of going to be similar to like the women's revolution, where it starts off small and then really gains momentum and gains speed. But I do agree, though. I mean, there's definitely more women in the wrestling business now. But when I was starting off, I was the only woman in my training class, both times with both different schools that I went to. I was the only one there, so of course the only option that I had was to roll around in the ring with the guys and get my first experiences with guys. And for the first few years, all my 85% of my matches were with men, and that's because of the lack of women. So maybe now that there's more women on the scene, you'll be able to have more women matches when you do start off. But there's always going to be, I think there's always going to be, men is always going to be the majority in wrestling. But I really do hope that intergender keeps on going the way it is. I think a lot of people have very strong opinions about it. There's never like, oh, it's okay. They either love it or they hate it. But I hope that it was just seen as an equal playing field. And if I'm good enough, I'm good enough to hang with the girls, and I should be good enough to hang with the guys.
Absolutely, and we're big fans of it. I like you were saying, we were teased it in WWE. We had the whole Nia and Dean Ambrose storyline. So really hoping that they just kind of break that barrier soon, so we can just kind of get past it and kind of just see wrestling overall moving forward.
Definitely. I hope so. I hope it works out.
All right, so we made it to the lightning round. It's 10 questions. Are you ready for it?
Ooh, I'm ready. I like lightning rounds. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, does Chicago have the best style of pizza?
No. New York does.
All right. Disney or DreamWorks?
DreamWorks. Disney.
Favorite sports. Favorite sport to watch outside of wrestling?
Football. I'm a huge 49ers fan. Go Niners. Woo!
All right. Favorite city during your travels that you like sightseeing in?
Oh, man. Portland or Austin or Amsterdam. I know it's more than one, but I couldn't pick one.
I mean, those are three pretty solid choices. The style of music that you listen to most on your workout playlist?
Rock, Slipknot, all the way. It's a great band to get through a workout.
Nice. Thoughts on the new album, by the way?
Oh, amazing. I just saw them in concert for the first time, and I was so happy. I couldn't believe I finally saw them in concert, but I really do like their new album for sure.
Yeah, if you told high school Matt that he would still be enjoying Slipknot in his 30s, I would not have believed you, but here I am. Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox?
Ooh, Xbox, because I'm awesome at playing Madden on Xbox. I love Madden. I could probably kick anybody's ass on Xbox Madden, though.
Gotcha. Best show that you've recently binged on Netflix?
What did I just finish watching? Mindhunter.
Oh, season 2.
Yeah.
Did you like
so
it?
So good. Yes, I really do love it. I'm a huge fan of true crime, so that was so good.
For sure. All right, this might be a tough one for you, but is there a food that you can't put sriracha on?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Cucumbers, because I absolutely hate cucumbers. So I kind of wish I loved them because they look so good when people put, like, the chile with the limon and, you know, like, it looks so good. But just the smell of them, oh, so gross. Like, if I'm eating a salad and a cucumber touches a lettuce, I will not eat that lettuce.
Oh, wow. So really
anti-cucumber. So that's the only reason. and mustard. Cucumbers and mustard are my mortal enemy.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, you can't mix sriracha and mustard. That just doesn't work anyway.
Yeah, that would be disgusting anyway. Yeah, but no, cucumbers and, yeah. And that's the only thing. That's probably the only food that won't put sriracha in. That's a solid question. Thanks. I appreciate that.
All right. Do you prefer wrestling as a heel or a face?
Heel, Ruda out of the way. I actually have Ruda, which means heel, lucha wrestling terms, tattooed on the inside of my lip.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right, and last one, Marvel or DC Comics?
Ooh, Marvel.
All right. Well, you survived the lightning round.
Yes, that was fun. I like that.
Congrats on that. So we have one last question, and it's just the other generic wrestling question that we always ask everyone. So we like to put a little bit of a twist on it. So, of course, we're going to ask, what is your dream match, dream opponent? But we also want you to pick the style of match. So would it be just a straight match? Do you want to be in a ladder match? And then the venue. Are you going down to Mexico? Or are you wrestling Madison Square Garden? Living, dead, retired? Who are you wrestling, where, and what style?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. I love the different levels of it because I feel like so many times it's like, oh, this is your opponent, but nobody ever asks, like, what type of match or what. So I think that's really cool. I'm going to say Bull Nakano, straight up regular match in Tokyo Dome.
All right, there it is. We would pay to see it.
Yay!
All right, so then before we let you go here tonight, we also like to give you some time. So, you know, plug your social media. Where can the listeners follow you? Instagram, Twitter, all of that. Any events where we can come see you in action, and anything that we might not have asked you that you want to throw out there, the floor is yours.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, you could definitely find me on Instagram and Twitter at Paloma Star, Star with two R's. I'm super interactive, so if you send me a tweet or a message or anything like that, I will most likely respond. I love being interactive. You could also find me this Saturday, September 14th, Mad Hatter Wrestling in Monticello, Indiana, and next week, September 21st, at Berwyn Championship Wrestling in Berwyn, Illinois. I also am the co-host of a really awesome YouTube show called Ring the Bell, and it's a weekly YouTube show where we review women's wrestling and news and rumors. So definitely go check it out and subscribe.
Definitely. We will make sure to link that one on our website as well. As big fans of women's wrestling, we are definitely going to check that out. So thank you again so much for joining us. We look forward to watching your career progress. Hopefully you can get out to the East Coast. If not, we'll have to make a trip to the Midwest and catch you in action.
Definitely. I hope so. I love the East Coast. I mean, I trained up there with Taz in New York a few years back, so I was able to get my good little taste of the East Coast, which is why I know I prefer New York style pizza over Chicago style pizza. But I definitely want to make my way out there again for sure.
Absolutely. And we'll be there when you do. So thank you again so much. Have a great night. And we look forward to seeing where your career goes from here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.